Please be seated. I sat down the other day and I was just exhausted after all that hectic running around, you know, and I kept thinking to myself, what happened to my simple little Christmas? But here I go, you know, making our favorite goulash soup and baking bread and keeping an eye on the girls, especially now that all the Christmas decorations are out. So, because the last thing I need is for that Christmas tree to go falling down. And I'm mixing a cookie dough and baking a cake and answering emails and making my phone calls, and I'm helping Victoria to cut out some gingerbread cookies, and I'm also jotting down some notes for my sermon, all the while humming that song, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, because that's all the girls sing these days. And to be honest with you, since I'm not perfect, I like reminding of that part, you better not cry, and you better not pout. But you get the point. By the end of the day, the cookie dough is everywhere, and the dishes are piled up in the sink, and kids are running high on sugar, back and forth, and I'm done in. Just too tired to even climb up those steps and go to bed. But the tree still stands, and I think that even the little victories in life are really worth celebrating. And that's been my worry throughout the season. Is the tree going to make it? Especially with Victoria having this rearranging tendency. And all this celebrating that we do, it's about to reach its peak. Later today, we'll gather together for the candlelight worship service, and the frenzy of unwrapping the presents shall begin. And not to damper your holiday spirit, but Christmas will rush past us before we know it. I think this has definitely been one of the fastest Advent seasons that I've experienced. Maybe it's because we started so late, or I don't know. Maybe there's just so much going on, and we all know how easy it is to get caught up in all that commotion. And I've seen it happen not that long ago. I was doing my last-minute browsing at Home Goods, and there's this couple, and they're arguing. You know, they're visibly and audibly not happy with each other at the moment. And it helped me realize, well, it does happen to the best of us. But it also helped me realize just how easily the nitty-gritty takes over our relationships and how quickly we forget what really matters. And I don't know about you, but to me it seems that even in the midst of all the holiday bliss and Christmas cheer and merrymaking, that many people actually find themselves unfulfilled and irritated, or at least slightly annoyed, or even depressed, you know, all that holiday blues. And the more we try to pretend that things are different this time of the year, the more we see brokenness. Because while we may not argue out loud in the grocery store, at the mall, or in the shopping center, you know, don't tell me that you had not found yourself in the midst of some nasty argument before. The last time I checked, families still argue. And friends still argue, and colleagues still argue, and sometimes it seems like peace is not much more than just a plain old handshake during worship. I don't have to tell you that we don't live in a picture-perfect world. Our news channels and apps on our phones are doing a pretty good job of that. The greed of those who exploit others and the rage of those who commit violence cannot be erased by the stunning window displays at Macy's or those on the Fifth Avenue. And we can switch our TVs off and go admire the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree and do some skating while we're at it. But not even that is going to make the heartache of the world to disappear. The gospel writer Luke retells a story that most of us, I believe, have just about memorized. Except when we tell the story, we usually forget a few very important details. To start, the announcement of Christ's birth is made into the same broken world that we know, either from the news or just looking around. More specifically, the Roman Empire was the setting in which the angel of the Lord made his announcement to Mary. Augustus was an emperor. Quirinius was a governor of Syria. Herod was a puppet king of Galilee. And the oppressions of the empire were rampant. None of the systems of the empire would ever benefit the regular and ordinary folk like Mary and Elizabeth. The women and the children, the poor and the laborers, it was them who supported the empire, not the other way around. And then add the political overtones of this announcement, and you're really asking for trouble. The Son of the Most High God, who will be given the throne of his ancestor David, and whose kingdom will have no end. That is quite a bold statement, especially within the borders of the establishment whose ruler believed that he himself was the Son of God, and that his gods appointed him to rule over the lives and the towns of all of his subjects. And there's more. There's a young girl, maybe a teenager, and she's asked to give up her honor for a greater honor. She's asked to give up her reputation for the favor of God. And her answer is yes. She's part of a gender-segregated and male-dominated society, and she still says yes. She agrees, even though she knows that this pregnancy could endanger her arranged marriage with Joseph and even cost her a life. Still, she says yes. She puts her reputation on the line. She puts her family's good name on the line. She puts her marriage on the line, and she even puts her own life on the line, because God's call requires her to be countercultural and to completely and profoundly entrust her life and her well-being to God. And she does just that. She trusted God's vision that flew in the face of everything that she knew, that flew in the face of everything that her family and her community expected of her. Mary puts her life in God's hands and believes God's promise against all odds, despite all of her questions and maybe even a glimpse of disbelief. Because how can this be, Lord? She asks. You know how it goes. Just when you think that you have your life all figured out, the Almighty God throws you a curve. But you know, here's the thing. We get so wrapped up in our plans and in our goals and our schedules that we so easily forget who we belong to. We so easily forget whose we are and whom it is that we breathe and move. But it is not so with our God. God sees us, even the least of us. Even someone as young as Mary, a girl with hardly any education, with hardly any resources, with so much less than what we enjoy, God sees people like her. Or people like Elizabeth, you know, an old woman who had been going through her life not being able to do that one thing that her society expected of her, to bear a son. God sees Elizabeth too. And my guess is that both these women, once they were presented with the impossibility of the task that God had designed for them, you know, my guess is that Elizabeth and Mary both knew just enough and trusted God just enough to get started. They trusted God just enough to put their lives into God's hands against all odds and despite all those questions that they may have had and maybe even a glimpse of disbelief. And I may be completely wrong here, but I think that we often underestimate the impact of what it means to trust God just enough to say yes to what God is calling us to. To trust that God is actually around with us here, not just hanging out, but hard at work for our well-being, hard at work for the well-being of the town of Fort Washington, for our families, for our community. And God's work may often be unseen to us, or at least it is to me at times, until I can sit back and take a moment or two in silence and prayer and the scripture where I can truly comprehend what has happened on the last day or maybe a week or maybe even a year. And you see, there are places where I didn't think that God would act. But God has, and God has done so powerfully, and I'm still in awe at how amazingly God answers our prayers. So I tell you something about the prayer that I've been praying just over the last couple of weeks. I've been praying to be able to go through the season of tinsel and glitter and sparkle with renewed understanding of what it is really about. You know, not just repeating Jesus is the reason of the season, but really living it out for my family and for people around me. So here we go, the first week of Advent. I was given a gift of one of the shortest Christmas sermons that I've heard in a while, but to me, that sermon, that one paragraph, was really powerful. And it was written by someone whom I have not yet met in person. Her name is Diana, and she was in charge of putting the town pageant and Angel's Choir together for the Christmas tree lighting. And this is what she wrote, and I'm going to quote. She said, "Veronica's stage fright did not affect the multitude. I completely understood just where she was. In fact, it occurred to me, just as I'm writing this, that perhaps her experience draws some comparison to Mary's situation, as she was going with Joseph to Bethlehem. What I mean, here she is in a place she doesn't know, having made a commitment that she must feel very nervous about, meeting people whom she doesn't know, and so many of them. So many unpredictable feelings and situations. And she has no experience with what she is facing. but she has her father. And she wants to stay close to him because she loves him and she trusts him. She was really quite adorable holding on to her father as he read the Christmas story in front of literally hundreds of people. It was precious. And many families who do not yet know your husband could see him doing his best and could feel connected with him through Veronica, because they have little ones too. It was endearing. God works in mysterious ways. These are the words that Diana left me with. Our daughter Veronica made a commitment that she could not live up to. It was way too overwhelming for her to face the crowd alone as an angel in the pageant with the kids whom she have not met before. Instead, she made a choice to stay at her father's side throughout the whole pageant and the Christmas tree lighting at Blumenfeld Park. And she was holding on to him quietly and respectfully throughout this whole time. She couldn't have done that by herself as an angel in the pageant, but she did it, staying close to her father whom she loves and trusts. Just standing nearby or holding his hand. And that's life. There are times and situations that we cannot face by ourselves. And they seem too big and too overwhelming. But somehow, as we stay close to our Lord, and let the Lord stay close to us, everything is turning out just fine because God with us, because Jesus is working things out for our well-being. And I'm not saying that life is perfect, and I'm not saying that everything will work out the way we want or expect. But for sure, God has a plan for us that is far greater than what we could have ever thought out for ourselves. And Advent is a time when we focus our attention on God's hidden work. God's hidden work in this broken world. With Mary's growing belly, God is growing the kingdom. And it may be hidden for a while, but not for too long, because God is hard at work and a whole lot of shaking is going on. And you see, that is a good thing. Do you like orange juice? So imagine you have Tropicana with lots of pulp. Are you just going to pour it into your glass without shaking it well at first? That would be kind of yucky, in my opinion. You're going to shake it, right? You're going to shake it well. So a whole lot of shaking can actually be a good thing. And you know what else is a good thing? That God is growing God's kingdom, even here in Port Washington. And I have seen glimpses of God being at work in your midst, even before we moved here back in July. But I tell you what, last Sunday, December 17th, I'll never forget that day, I don't think. December 17th, 2017, you know, between the Christmas pageant and the church's first annual community Christmas event, these glimpses turned into a very tangible and palpable kind of reality. The reality that looks like children laughing out loud during one of the many hayrides that they took. The reality that looks like cookies and lots of sticky frosting and even more sprinkles than that. The reality that looks like a chat around the fire pit while you're roasting your marshmallow. A chat with someone you've just met. The reality that looks like flames of the candles and a comfort of a tradition. And the sanctuary filled with the sound of Christmas carols. The reality that looks like whole families working together for something beyond themselves. The reality that looks like older children taking the younger ones under their wing, being role models to them. The reality that looks like a longing for deeper relationships and a desire to build up even stronger and more connected community in the name of our Lord. The reality that looks like a future with hope. God's future designed for us, designed for this town. God's future designed for our families. What I saw last Sunday, that is what makes Christmas, Christmas. Because remember, this season, that's all about the good news of the message that nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with our God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.